I'm doing great, guys, but you should have had Hannah Storm in my call from last night, not just Joe and Troy. Come on.
I know. Chrissy, back in the studio. What are you doing?
Producer's very anti-female.
Say, don't get on my girl Chrissy here. Come on now.
Did you hear what Adam said? He said Chrissy is very anti-female. It's just the way it works. Sorry.
There you go. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I was just actually asking her, what's the vibe there today after last night's, I don't even know what adjective to call it. You know, implosion. Oh my God! That was not good. If you're a Raider fan, I'm sorry.
You know, the weird thing here is that we're really not a Raider town yet, and I think it's gonna take a couple of years once they hit the ground in Vegas. So, for us, I mean, we have a lot of Raiders fans here, but I mean, the way the season's gone, I guess nothing surprises at this point with John Gruden's team. They've just been an utter letdown.
Well, the funny thing is, so it was just about a year ago that I was there shooting really one of the first stories done on the future of sports betting in America for HBO Real Sports, and I spent close to a week out there in Las Vegas, and one of the things we did is we went to the Raider bar and we watched a game. And so I know you may say it's not Raider territory yet, but boy, you didn't go to that bar. I can't even imagine what that bar would have been like last night. You know, just a funeral dirge or something. But you know, one of the things that we are able to do on Thursday Night Football is have what we call friends of Hannah and Andrea call in. So one of the people that we spoke to last night during the game live was your mayor, Carolyn Goodman,
yes.
And who I've got, you know, great admiration and affection for. And it's interesting because she said one of the funniest things I've ever heard, and I had known that she and her husband had a long-standing, decades-long relationship with the Davis family, with the late Al Davis, and of course his son Mark, who's the current owner. And I said, when he was growing up, what was the relationship like? And he goes, oh, Mark Davis was a rotten little kid. And I said, what? And she goes, oh, yeah, he was a rotten little kid. He was a pain. He was annoying. He'd come around and he'd, like, be touching things as a little kid would do. And I said, do you still tell him this? She goes, I remind him all the time. And God bless Mayor Goodman. I mean, she is a piece of work. She is really funny. But I think that, according to her, the Raiders don't, you know, you'd like them to win, but they don't necessarily have to win to have the market share once they are due to arrive in 2 years. I think that's going to be very interesting to see. I'm going to go out on a limb, not, and say that this incarnation of the team you're seeing now is going to be nothing like what you're going to see when they get there in 2 years.
Oh, of course.
Well, let's hope not.
Oh, no, let's hope not.
You're lucky if we know what they're going to look like next week.
I know. No, their honeymoon period in Vegas will be at least 4 or 5 years. Believe it or not, the top PSL are $75,000. The next level is $35,000. And you couldn't, after like 2 days, once they went on sale, you couldn't get a $75,000 seat. And I tried. I didn't try. But you couldn't get any. So the corporate backing for this thing, Caesars just signed on. Believe me, you want them to be decent when they get here, but it's going to be a money-making machine for at least the first 5 years.
Right. Well, you know, my understanding, you know, talking to a number of players and coaches in our preparation process for Amazon Thursday Night Football, is, and I understand this, not just with the limited time that coaches have with teams coming in due to the collective bargaining agreement rules, but John Gruden, who is combing through obviously every frame of video on his team, not to mention, in fact, I learned this week that Gruden will watch. Each week, he will watch every game for every team, because if there's something that he can poach from somebody else, he's you know, happy to do so. But anyway, he's watching all this video of the Raiders and the Raiders team, and it's totally different when you get the guys in meetings, you get them on the practice field, you see how they actually perform in preseason, in actual game situations, and I think that he potentially had overestimated what he had, not just the talent level, but the kind of offense he was going to be able to run. I think that he knew that the defense was going to be a work in progress, but they thought they could outscore people. That is certainly not the case. If you know, oh my God, the 49er defense, we're not talking about the 85 Bears here. I mean, so for them not to be able to score at all, I mean, that offense looked to me, it never got into any rhythm. Nothing. Nada. And obviously, you know, when you're withstanding, what, eight sacks, it was a humiliation last night.
I'm still mystified by the fact that you went to a Raiders bar and got out alive. How much security did you have?
Oh, well, we had a bunch of people with us, and they couldn't have been nicer. You know, the people there couldn't have been nicer. And the fans were, you know, they were very knowledgeable. It's just that simple. You can't fault people for caring, but this was last year. This is before, before gambling was officially legal. But they knew that the team was coming, so they certainly have some kind of loyal fan base.
On that end, how much do you think the spread of legalized gambling is going to change how sports are covered and broadcast?
Well, everything is such a work in progress, and you know, you guys are right there at the epicenter. So, in some ways, I think you're probably better equipped to answer that than I am. I think what's going to be interesting is, you know, and this is one of the premises of our pieces, of our Real Sports piece a year ago. No, we don't want gambling. Unless we can make money off of it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, well. And so look, you know, virtually every day you're seeing a new team in one of the leagues making a sponsorship agreement with something related to a casino. And, you know, I want to say a big duh. That doesn't surprise anybody. I think that there will come a time, I would think it's going to be soon, but I guess you never know, where you're going to have prop bets allowed. You know, you're going to sit in the stadium and you're going to be able to say, okay, on this next drive there's going to be a touchdown, or on this next drive I think there's going to be an interception, whatever it is. I think that that's just only a matter of time. And there's no question to me that the four major professional leagues would prefer if there was federal guidelines and it wasn't the Wild West out there in terms of each state having its own guidelines. But it's just a matter of time, guys. It's just a matter of time when you're going to see gambling in on everything for every sport.
So back to the Raiders that we were discussing moments ago. Did you? And I know it's a tough label to put on, but I know one of the 49ers put the quit label on the Raiders yesterday and said players were quitting. Did you get the sense that there was any of that at all on the field by the players, of just not trying or caring at any point?
Well, my experience over the years has been, and typically it's more in the late week 14, 15, 16, 17, when you know you're not going to the playoffs, even though, guys, this just in, newsflash, Raiders ain't going to the playoffs, okay? This is why I'm an intrepid reporter. I can make a commentary like this. But I think that players, you're putting yourself and your play on tape, either for your current employer or for a future one. And if coaches, as they call it, if they see players loafing, they're going to pull you out. And it's actually, it's dangerous. If you're an offensive lineman and you're not doing your job full out, you know, you can get somebody pretty seriously hurt there. And so you'd like to think that everybody's a professional and that they're going to give their all in every play, even though they know their season is going nowhere. It's a complete wasted season. Am I naive enough to think that's the case? No. I just think that there was this sort of feeling, this sense of sort of hopelessness, because they couldn't do anything. What did they do last night that was that? I think I even said this toward the end of the broadcast. You know, no matter how upbeat you want to try to be, when you're watching that film, whether it's today or if you gave them off and it's going to be Monday, what do you pull out of that that's remotely positive? Seriously.
The end?
What? Right, when it hit 0-0.
Yes.
When it hit 0-0, that's about it. That's the thing that kind of blows me away. There was nothing to take out of there that you could even build on. I think it's very disturbing. And the funny thing is, it was being downplayed in the Bay Area. Oh, nobody cares about the Battle of the Bay. But let me tell you, there's bragging rights between the two franchises. Believe me, the Raiders didn't want to lose to the Niners and vice versa. It's just that simple. But to lose that way, to have a butt kicking that way, 3 points against the Niners defense, that's just too tough. That's too tough.
It's Cofield and Company here on a Friday. Hannah Storm is calling the games with our guest, Andrea Kramer, on Thursday Night Football on Amazon. what have you discovered up in the booth that maybe you didn't know about doing these NFL games?
Well, we made it very clear that we weren't trying to be Alan John, Troy and Joe. I mean, that would be ridiculous for us. It was insulting to them. We view the game differently. We literally and figuratively have our own voices. I think that I'm just so proud of Hannah because, to me, she is the quintessential host. There's nothing that she hasn't faced in live television, whether it's news or sports. And I think that she's been doing a, you know, really terrific job with the play-by-play. She knows how to set up an analyst. She's flawless getting you in and out of breaks and commercials and things of that nature. And I'm really proud of how she's done. And for me, it was, I think the best advice I got was from John Madden, who had called me when he found out we were doing it and just wanted to wish me luck and tell me how proud he was of me. And he said, don't think you have to cram for the test. You've been preparing for this for 30 years. And I was like, wow. First of all, to get that kind of endorsement from him was pretty powerful. But the reality is that, you know, I've been covering football for that long, and, you know, I started watching film. I don't want to date myself here, but I started watching film in my first job in the 80s. I've been watching film for a long time, and I think that let's just put it this way. I'm not going to BS my way through anything. When there's things that I see and I pick up right away, I'm gonna say it as it is. I will not, and this is my other dear friend, Al Michaels, we joked about it. He says, oh, my God, don't start with A-gap penetration and backside and this and that and all this language of football. That he said 99.9% of the audience, they don't know what you're talking about, and 99.9% of the broadcasters don't know it either. So for me, if I can explain, okay, so on a jet sweep on this play, the receiver comes through, it's a quick handoff, the defense is flowing one way, they, you know, if I can explain stuff like that, that's what I'm doing, because you have to remember, guys, we're going to 200 countries. We're not just going to people in Las Vegas. So we don't know who's listening, how much they know, you know, how can we educate them about the game and about the storylines that are developing. You know, last night was I was really proud. I call it our small and mighty team. I was really proud of everybody because we found out, obviously, we knew that Nick Mullins was about 50-50 to start. We found out about, you know, 90 minutes before the game that he was going to start, and I immediately, so I get John Lynch on the phone, the Niners general manager. One of my producers tracks down Nick Mullins, high school coach and his college offensive coordinator, who's currently the offensive coordinator at Auburn, Chip Lindsey. We get him on the phone. Then we track down Todd Monken, who was Mullins' head coach at Southern Miss. He's now the offensive coordinator in Tampa. We get Todd on the phone. So we just started we went into reporting mode, and I was really proud because this was the main storyline the entire game, and we could bring you all these different perspectives. And, you know, let's just put it this way. I'm not sure who else was broadcasting the game and did that, but those are the types of things that I feel that we could bring that are unique to our broadcast.
What kind of reception have you gotten from audiences? And I don't know how much social media do. It can be a little bit vicious out there in terms of social media.
Yeah, you know what? I don't read that much social media.
Smart.
And I have to admit, maybe I just don't follow the right people or whatever it is.
Right.
The only criticism that I've seen, which is 100% warranted from day one, was we want to hear it and we can't find them. And people that can't find the broadcast. And I think that Amazon, which is all about customer service, is, you know, has been all over that. Listen, guys, we're an option. If you want to listen to us, that's great. If you don't want to listen to us, you can listen in Spanish. You can listen to two UK broadcasters. You can stream Joe and Troy. You've got plenty of options. We are one option. So that's why I don't get bent out of shape or anything like that. But I will admit that I've seen way more, wow, this is different, and we want to listen to them over the, you know, the network broadcast. And you got to love that. But the bottom line is the people at Amazon, the feedback we get from them is that they're thrilled and they're paying the bills. So as long as they're happy, it's good for us.
Very cool. We appreciate a couple minutes on a Friday, and hopefully we can get you on down the road, okay?
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for the interest. And you take care of my girl, Chrissy.